Here, this is the inaugural Joint Special Committee on Redistricting, and I call this meeting to order for Thursday, June 9th, 2011. We have some rules to, actually, first of all, this is, everybody's excited to be here? Yeah, I am. Yeah. It's been a long road here. let's see here. We have some rules to adopt first. And Lori, would you like to explain those?
I would be happy to. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Appendix A, the guidelines for access and usage of committee services, redistricting technical support, equipment, and amendments simply have, these are the same rules or guidelines that were adopted by the House Committee on Redistricting and Senate Committee on Redistricting, with one minor change indicating different committee services personnel. Would you like to adopt those as one?
Yes.
Do you want two?
One.
Okay.
Sarah Bonamici, do we have a motion?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move to adopt proposed joint committee rules, including Appendix A and B.
A and B is fine,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Senator Bonamici moves to adopt proposed joint committee rules, including Appendix A and B. Is there any discussion? Any further discussion? Is there any objection?
The green sheet.
Hearing none, the motion passes. The joint committee rules are adopted. And we also close the organizational meeting for the adoption of the joint committee rules. And, once again, open a public hearing on Senate Bill 989. We have a dash one amendment to Senate Bill 989. And, Lori, would you please explain it?
I would be happy to, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Senate Bill 989 revises the statutes related to legislative redistricting, and the dash one amendment replaces that measure, establishing the new state House and Senate legislative districts.
Thank you. And we'll have testimony. We'd like to have Ms. Gina Zedlick come up and explain the dash one amendments, if you would be so kind to do so.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Gina Zedlick from Legislative Council. And just briefly, I'll go through sort of the format of the Dash 1 amendments, which I know is a really overwhelmingly large document that has a lot of numbers in it. First of all, Section 1 is a gut and stuff of the bill. So Section 1 sets forth the House districts and how it does that. It doesn't list every block in the map, so it sort of does this telescoping effect where it kind of consolidates. So if there's a whole tract included in a district, it won't list the individual blocks. And if a whole county is in a district, it will just list the county. So it kind of goes to the biggest mass possible and then lists. So that's the format of Section 1, which is probably about 230 pages long. And then Section 2, if you look at the very back of the amendment, there are more sections at the very end. And Section 2 sets forth the senatorial districts by reference. So instead of relisting the large list of numbers in Section 1, Section 2 says, goes to the nesting requirement in the Constitution and says Senate District 1 is comprised of House Districts 1 and 2, and so forth. So you can look to that list for that. Section 3 is to fulfill the constitutional requirement to assign holdover senators. So it clarifies the district that the new Senate district and then the senator assigned to that district. And in the past, we've had another section that does that for representatives. We don't have that in this bill this time because of the constitutional amendment that took place in 2008, which adjusted the operative dates of the plan that will be adopted this year. And so there aren't any representatives whose term of office will be interrupted by the taking effect of a new redistricting plan. So there was no need to do that this time.
Okay, well, thank you. I read all 243 pages this morning and have them memorized. Any questions for Ms. Zedlick?
I
Mr. Co-Chair, I have a question. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Thank you so much for your work on this. I know it's a remarkable feat to be able to put this into a bill. For the record, I would like you to please explain the steps that were taken to assure the accuracy of the bill in the process of transferring it from the GIS people, the technical people, to Legislative Council. If you could explain that for the record, I think that would be helpful. Thank you.
Sure. Co-Chair Bonamici, co-chairs, members of the committee, and I will be giving this in layman's terms because, and hopefully our GIS redistricting staff isn't cringing too much. But as you know, that there is a, and feel free to correct me.
Notice the record working.
I know. I think for purposes of making the decisions, a visual map is obviously most helpful in the short term to see where to draw the lines. However, for purposes of putting that in statute, we have to come out and list the block numbers. So there's a series of processes that happen to translate the visual into the text. And so it starts with the GIS software, which has the map, and then I think the first basic function is to transfer that into a text file. Wayne would definitely be better to speak to how he verifies that that text file reflects that map. The next process is getting that text file down to Legislative Council so that we can put it in a format that you see in front of you to have the amendment that you can adopt as a committee. So we get a text file, and that runs through our Legislative Council's program. That program, there was a new program used every year up until 2001 when a new program was written, and we're using that program again. That program was written to address errors that had come up in the past, and so our program is specifically designed to address some of those issues, to take the text file, to consolidate them into, I know this isn't that readable, but it's more readable than a mere listing of block numbers. And then what happens is that it translates that into what you see here today. And then we do some back checks. We compare sort of statistical checks, making sure that the number of pieces of data that we've inputted per district is the same. And Legislative Council and the GIS staff go back and forth to keep making those comparisons along the way. It's sort of a broad check. Obviously, we don't have the staff to check every block, but I feel confident that what you're seeing in front of you at the very least reflects exactly what we got from the GIS program.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? I'd like to express my appreciation as well. I know that it was a quick turnaround, and thanks to you and to all Legislative Council for helping with that.
My pleasure.
Thank you. We'll now call the trifecta, or the Iron Triangle, up, and Mayor Kalkoven and Senator Johnson and Representative Boone.
And then I'll be a committee.
Madam Mayor, we'll put you in the middle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I currently have the privilege of serving Senate District 16. You have heard from me before, but given how deeply unhappy my constituents are, I feel honor-bound to go on the record again. I have with me, in addition to Representative Boone, Mayor Shirley Kalkoven of Nehalem, and she will make the opening remarks. I think Representative Boone wants to make a comment, and I'll conclude.
Thank you, Senator. For the record, my name is Shirley Kalkoven. I'm the mayor of Nehalem. In 2009, it was my privilege to serve as the president of the League of Oregon Cities. Today, I am here representing all of the mayors of Tillamook's seven cities. I brought with me two documents. One is a letter from the seven mayors to Governor Kitzhaber expressing our deep dismay and displeasure over the plan that you have suggested for Tillamook County. The other document is a joint resolution that was just adopted by the Democratic and Republican Central Committees of Tillamook County, also in opposition to this plan. I can tell you that this morning there are a lot of people in my county that are more than upset. People in South County are feeling very, very much disenfranchised because they, like those of us in North County, have been very ably represented for a number of years by Senator Johnson and Representative Boone. And, of course, we would like to keep it that way with one senator and one representative. The mayors have looked at your plan. We have looked at the criteria that is to be addressed in forming this plan. And quite honestly, we don't think that if challenged, it would stand up to that challenge. If it is passed into law and signed by the governor, the ultimate challenge, of course, is in the courts. And that will be up to the Board of Commissioners whether they choose to pursue that or not. If they do, they will have the backing of all of Tillamook County's cities, as best we can provide that. I'll stop my comments at that point and say we are deeply disappointed in the way Tillamook County has been treated. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And thank you, co-chairs Lindsay and Bonamici and the rest of the committee. For the record, my name is Deborah Boone. I represent House District 32, which is half of Senate District 16. And I realize, and I've talked to some of you about how difficult the decisions were to draw the lines that, as you did in Tillamook County. I'm just speaking to the Tillamook County section at this point. I'm happy to have the rest of it. I guess I could say I got part of what I asked for in the beginning, which was all of Clatsop County, and to make it whole because we have all but a small part of the top part of Clatsop County. But it actually increased my Washington County presence and enlarged the district in that sense. But I'm here to speak about the part about Tillamook and breaking it into two, because it actually, in addition to carving the county into two pieces, it carves the city of Tillamook into two pieces too. So we have the lines right about the courthouse, but does not include the community college or the fairgrounds, and it's just a problem in that sense that it breaks up the city as well as the county. But I concur with Senator Johnson's remarks and Mayor Kalkoven's, and I've been hearing from some of my constituents in Tillamook County. So far, they're very upset about this, and they're banding together against that particular element of splitting the county. This is a county that forever has been just a very close-knit, like a town. The people from north and south belong to the same groups, et cetera, et cetera. I have to mention one almost unheard-of phenomenon that has occurred because of this action, and that is the central committees, both Democrat and Republican, in Tillamook counties have actually signed a joint letter or resolution objecting to the splitting of the county. So I never thought I would see that. So, and they couldn't be further apart politically, so that is unusual. Everybody's commenting on that too. So anyway, but thank you for your hard work. I realize how tough it's been for you, and this is a big job, and I'm really glad it's you and not me.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak on this issue. Again, I'm going to make some general comments and then conclude with Tillamook. Senate District 5 now extends on the map that's proposed into Tillamook County up to Tillamook and includes portions of Polk and Yamhill counties it never covered before and still leaves Coos County split. This move splits three counties that were whole before and fails to connect the split in Coos County, all of which could have been easily avoided. I'm sure the citizens of Sheridan and Western Yamhill County will love being represented by somebody from the coast. After all, they're only separated from the rest of their district by a mountain range. Senate District 4 splits Roseburg, and I don't see any reasonable reason to do that. Senate District 4 has portions of South Eugene, as it always had, but there's no geographic, social, or community reason not to include those portions in Senate District 7, which is the rest of Eugene. There is no good reason to do this other than to keep Senate District 4 like it was before, a reasonable reason, but I'm sure the residents of Eugene would like to be together. Senate District 30 now includes Sisters, which was taken away from the Bend-Redmond Sisters triangle of Senate District 27 and put into Senate District 30, probably in order to keep Sun River in Senate District 27. Probably unnecessary. And Crook County should be in Senate District 30 in simple community terms, but is still in 28, which reaches all the way to Grants Pass. Senate District 26 unnecessarily encroaches on southeast Portland, Multnomah County, and Happy Valley, and on Senate District 24. The farther Senate District 26, Hood River, reaches into Portland, the less it makes sense. I guess the community of interest, by definition, there are the windsurfers who live in southeast Portland and play in Hood River. After all, Hood River and Damascus are only separated by a volcano. It's easy and sensible to fix this. And saving the worst for last, Senate District 16 is losing half of Tillamook County and actually getting more, not less, of Washington County. There are meaningful additions in northwest Portland that make sense, but splitting Tillamook County is absolutely unnecessary. And every redistricting hearing I attended or listened to that involved the metro area had Western Washington County residents pleading to be in a more Washington County district. Senate District 16 now includes Moora Banks and Forest Grove and not less. The important message here is that there are simple and logical ways to draw Senate Districts 13, 14, 15, 17, 18, and 19, the West Metro Area districts, to meet the necessary population changes and include all of Washington County. Yes, there aren't a lot of folks living in Western Washington County, but I'm mystified by what they have in common with Astoria and St. Helens, and apparently they are too. There are mountains in the way. Thank you for allowing me to go on the record a second time.
I'd like to thank all three of you for being here, and Mayor, thank you sincerely for traveling this far. We really appreciate you being here. I might just say up front that this is the Tillamook and Banks area is one of my greatest disappointments that we weren't able to fix. I hope that you know that we sincerely tried to fix it. And I appreciate you, Representative Boone, Senator Johnson, Mayor, you came to the hearings, you testified, the Mayor of Banks as well came. And I just want you to know that we spent hours trying to satisfy that, and we simply couldn't. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Co-Chair Garrett.
Oops. I just wanted to add to that. I sometimes when things don't work out the way people wanted, they feel that they've been ignored, and I just want to reiterate that no one was ignored. We actually worked very hard to try and remedy all the perceived flaws that were presented to us in three different public hearings following the release of the proposed plans. And we actually fixed most of them. And what I learned early on in this process is that you have to be ready to accept imperfection in a redistricting plan. There is no perfect plan. I don't believe one has ever been written. And I am sincerely sorry that the folks in Tillamook County feel that they have been a casualty of this process. I think that's an understandable feeling. They're not the only casualty either. I could find a number of things on the plan that I think are not desirable, but it's a fact of life as we reach a final plan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Co-Chair Lindsay. I want to reiterate the comments that were made by the other co-chairs. Any district could be made perfect if you just draw that district, and in fact we could have 90 very perfect looking districts, but they wouldn't fit together. And I want to say we did try, we considered, there are many counties that are split. And one thing that I think it's important to keep in mind is as you're looking long term, we really had to think about drawing districts not with regard to the particular legislator or senator who is there now. And so when you talk about, you know, well, the senator's too far away or you have great representation, we're looking at a 10-year plan here. And maybe the next person will be from somewhere closer. So that is one concern. And then also I wanted to explain that in some of the hearings, including, I believe, the one in Tillamook and definitely in Eugene, we heard testimony about the advantage of having more representation. And so when a county is split into two districts, that means there's two representatives or two senators looking out for that district rather than one. So there are advantages as well as disadvantages, but I do want to let you know that we heard your concerns, we tried to address them, and if we had drawn one district that way, we would have had somebody else in here who would have had a similar concern somewhere else. So it isn't that we didn't hear you. So we appreciate your coming back.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you again, Mayor, for traveling. Thanks. All right, and we'll have, let's see here. Okay. Representative Sheehan, Representative Johnson and Senator Thompson. I'd like to come up. And by the way, I'd just like to, well, let's see here. How many do we have on the, oh, okay. That's good. I'll put the time limit. Yes. The second trifecta.
I think the representative with the duck tie should go first.
That's a little scary.
You may be long-winded. Maybe we ought to go first.
No, I
want me to go first?
I'll defer to you, the senior member.
Thanks. Co-chair Bonamici, co-chair Lindsay. I'm Chuck Thompson, Senate District 26. Thanks for all your hard work. This is a committee. We went to a hearing in Mount Hood, Mark and I.
The original one.
And I know all the hearings you went all over the state. Wouldn't have wanted to have been on this committee. I know you guys put in tons of work on this. I've just got a little tweak to mine. I have fairly small areas in my district. One of the areas that Representative Sheehan and I coveted was the Estacada, city of Estacada. It's a little ways from my house, but it was a great community to represent. And now with the redistricting, I no longer have Estacada, and Representative Sheehan no longer has Estacada. I've talked to Senator Alan Olson, who now has Estacada, and this is a pretty easy fix of about 1,600 people to the east towards Mount Hood from Estacada. That is still, you've left that my district. So now I have to drive 2 hours to Estacada, which is no longer in my district, go up through the town of Estacada, because it's the only way you can get up to the area up there to get to those folks. And so it makes more sense, community of interest, that if Senator Olson's representing Estacada, that he also represents the folks in the near outlying areas of Estacada. Otherwise, it's going to be very tough for somebody to represent them. And there's an area in the middle of my district, right on 212, right along the road. 212, I go from Happy Valley to Damascus to through Boring to Sandy over to Gresham Troutdale. And right in the middle on 212, the line was on 212, and everything to the east was Olson, but there's a little section in Boring that they gave that to Olson, and the road goes right through Boring. So it doesn't make sense, and with 1,600 people, we found a pretty quick, easy fix to it, just a little tweak to the map. We've run it through the system, and it just makes sense just that I continue all the way through 212, just a little jagging, and Senator Olson would have those people over in Estacada. It appears like it's a – I know this as whole process has been complicated. Little tweaks like this would be very tough, just might have been overlooked, but I'm just here today to ask for a small little trade. And, again, thanks for all your work. Thank you.
Co-chairs, committee, Representative Mark Johnson, House District 52. Senator Thompson and I chatted briefly yesterday about common areas of interest that we have in regards to the map as it's proposed. Thank you for your efforts, generally. Pretty good job. But I do have one area of concern, and that would be taking the community of Boring out of District 52 completely. The proposed map, or the map that's before you, would push that boundary up to Highway 26, which actually takes Boring out of District 52. Again, as we talk about communities of interest, Highway 26 doesn't necessarily divide a community of interest. That nurseryman heavy area that is Boring encompasses is on both sides of Highway 26. I mean, you have very similar areas of whether agriculture, whether it's cultural. Community of Boring isn't limited by Highway 26. It straddles that area. So that would be my one comment. And then pushing House District 52 closer to the outskirts of Estacada as well pushes me into an area that hasn't previously been an area within House District 52. So again, it's another community that will need to be represented, another community to get to know. And if those two areas, as Senator Thompson referenced, could have been or would be able to be kind of flip-flopped, the net gain or the net changes in population really wouldn't be significant. It would be a push to simply leave Boring in District 52 and push the boundary nearest Estacada back to where it was. So those are my only comments. And again, we just, as a senator and a representative there serving those people, we just wanted to share those same comments or similar areas of interest with you all. So thank you.
Thank you, co-chairs, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Patrick Sheehan, House District 51. No one's house district changed as dramatically as mine. Probably less than 10% of my existing district is still in the proposed district, 10% of the land mass. I should probably thank you for leaving my home in one distant corner of that map. Communities of interest were lost. Damascus was severed. My communities along the banks of the Clackamas River are gone. I feel like none of my feedback that I gave you was incorporated. I currently represent a gigantic portion of Clackamas County, which has a unique cultural congruence between rural and suburban neighborhoods. The proposal increases the number of Multnomah County residents I would represent from 1,200 to 35,000. That's 1,200 to 35,000 between counties. The district now straddles counties 50-50, but I don't really want to talk about communities of interest. This, to me, appears to be gerrymandering. Every conversation through this process has begun with, what are the numbers looking like? What's the advantage and the disadvantage? And there was sort of a dog and pony show that was taken around the state where we got feedback from communities. I don't see that that feedback was incorporated here. I believe it was ignored for political strategy and negotiated net effects on registration advantages. I was told the reason that Representative Conger and I received such negative attention was that the negotiations required two Republicans to get the short end of the stick, under the threat of going to the Secretary of State, which would be worse for up to six Republicans. Well, the short straw was drawn for me. The unintended consequence for the behind-the-scenes, what I assume are Democrats, who have used their influence here to bully this process and the leverage of the Secretary of State, is that I like this new area. I have a lot of friends in this new area. I do a lot of business in this new area. I'll be just fine. What's not fine is the relationships that I've built in areas of the district that have needed the most help, and I now have to start fresh with a new representative for the third time in three election cycles. It's sad. I think I'm entitled to be angry about what you've done here. It's been a disingenuous process from my perspective for the people, and it shines a huge light on why we need an independent commission to make these decisions, not a Secretary of State and not a politically charged negotiating deal-making legislature. That's my testimony.
Thank you. Thank you to all three of you for coming. I'd like to just make reference to, we just adopted rules on how to propose amendments, so I'd ask that you look at those rules that we just adopted. Any questions? Thank you kindly. All right, and anybody else? Is there anybody that did not sign up that wanted to sign up? Janice? Okay, why don't you come up with Jenny Jenny from Apono. Thank you.
Am I going first?
Go ahead, sure.
Okay. For the record, my name is Jenny Nguyen, and I'm here representing Apono. Thank you, co-chairs and members of the board, members of the committee, for hearing us out. We want to thank you for your work in this, and we understand, we want to recognize that this is a very difficult process, and that we acknowledge that you're balancing multiple factors, including Asian Pacific Islander interests. One of we We didn't have time to prepare written testimony today to submit, but we will be following up with written testimony after this hearing. And I want to first start by recapping what our goals were in previous testimonies, that we wanted to have at least 20% Asian Pacific Islander populations within two House districts. And we suggested that House Districts 33 and 48 had a lot of potential to meet that goal. But looking at the new map, we want to first thank you for listening to some of that testimony by increasing our population in House District 33 to 18%, from 16% in Plan 1 and 11% in Plan 2. So thank you very much for that. But we are also concerned about House District 48, and the new plan, it shows that our population has decreased from 14% in Plan 1 and 13% in Plan 2 to a mere 10% in the current plan. So we want to voice that we're concerned about this change, and we're interested in knowing what the competing factors are and that resulted in population decrease of the Asian Pacific Islander population in 48. And this question is not a criticism, and I want to be clear, because like I just said, we understand this is a difficult process, but rather as a criticism, we want APANO to better understand how these decisions were reached, that resulted in the decrease. I want to conclude by saying that the Asian Pacific Islander population is here in Oregon. We are a rapidly growing population, and that we are organized. And so we look forward to, working with members of the committee 10 years from now when we're going to, do this again in 10 more years. So I know you're all looking forward to that, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Janice Thompson with Common Cause Oregon. I don't get a chance to write headlines, but if I could, I would say Common Cause Oregon commends redistricting process and historic bipartisan agreement. This has just been an incredibly hardworking committee that has just time and again, I think, illustrated a cooperative spirit that I think is just, like I say, incredibly commendable. I also want to give kudos to the great staff work, both on the legal side and the technical side in the hearings. The fact that there were the informational hearings across the state, then multiple hearings on draft maps, which is an important had been an important missing piece in the past, and now yet another hearing, potentially even being open to amendments, is just really kind of, I think, setting a kind of a new gold standard for people thinking ahead in the Oregon in terms of providing meaningful opportunities for public input. It is not possible to draw one map that will keep everybody happy. Redistricting, just as you all know far better than I, requires balancing of these multiple factors. One of the other things that really stood out is that though redistricting is a political process, I think this bipartisan committee showed Oregonians that thoughtful compromise is possible, and that is just, I think, again, just a really important message. This historic agreement, I think, also addresses the concerns of Common Cause Oregon, like I say, first and foremost about lots of opportunities for public input, but also really, I think, seriously taking a look at race, which is something that, when we got a chance to testify early on, we pointed out, could and should be a factor, and really strived to avoid partisanship. In terms of the API community, those interests, as you just heard, were not necessarily fully met, and that's disappointing, but I think, start to reflect the concern of this growing population in Oregon. House District 43, looking at the data this morning, that came out, reflects, I think, that other testimony, the majority-minority Latino district in House District 22, there's actually, as I look at the numbers, two minority opportunity districts regarding Latinos with House District 29 and 57. So those, I think, just really speak to, you know, like I say, both a fair process and one that really took, you know, the multiple factors and, you know, you guys were the ones who had to bite the bullet and draw the line somewhere. There's always going to be somebody at the other on the other side of that line saying you should have done this. So, to summarize, really great work on an incredibly challenging process, and I think really Oregon deserves national attention for both its process and this example of bipartisan cooperation.
Thank you, Janice and Jenny. Does anybody want to address Jenny's question? Chris, you know Multnomah County a little bit more. Do you want to address that?
I'm afraid I don't have the amount of clip to address that.
We can talk offline if you'd like.
Sure.
As well. And I heard you on OPB this morning. Good job.
Like I said, I don't get a chance to write the headline all the time.
Any questions? Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else here that wants to testify that has not had the opportunity to testify? Members of the committee, we've received written testimony, and you each have a package of that written testimony, and I need to read that testimony into the record. I'll do so at this time. We received written testimony from the following: Jeff Reynolds, Jenny and George Ballard, Cynthia Condon, Mark Mosley, Ann and Gerald Gawith, James and Lenora Lawrence, Lori Nino, Gwen Schatz, Al Nodder, Robert Pohensi, Kathy Paterno, Roger and Vicki Gorman, Diana Bruno, Michael Brown, Kara Schufelt, Russ Newcomer, Sally Douglas, Mark Dickman, Michael Sheehan, City of Garibaldi, LaFern Pratt, Lionel Vandermolen, Denise Frisbee, Apano, Robert Sharp, Davis Dyer, Susan Laughlin, Joseph Wesley, and Rowena Patton, City of Eagle Point, and Tillamook County. Okay, we'll just stand at ease for a second here. Where are we? Moving the bill?
Thank you, Craig.
So,
why do we need you?
Although, I think we understand.
I'm just wondering.
We don't.
Don't say that.
No.
Probably not. I don't know where he is. Do we want to address that?
Somebody's got to call him off, is what I think it is.
And that we took off the table.
Yeah, I think they're all. I think what they've done is they've put the column on wall.
Here's my theory.
Back on the record here. Before we close the informational meeting, public hearing, Representative Holvey, do you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, Representative Esquivel pointed this out, that we noticed that there were some numbers transposed on the population of African American in districts 5 and 6. They're transposed with the Hispanic population, we believe. And when you compare them to the Senate district, they don't match, add up. So I think we should perhaps take a look at that.
Nice.
Okay. Sure, if I might add on to that, that seems, from my observation, I was following on that, it looks like maybe that whole column for all the districts, that might be true.
Okay. It could be the way it's lined up on the page.
Well, no, not vertically. I think the Hispanic column and the African American column are swapped. The numbers versus the heading.
It sure looks
just
like
in
it.
The House.
Okay,
so it would appear
side, they're not on the Senate.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. It's on the record. Staff has notes, and we'll get that corrected. Thank you.
We should definitely have that corrected for the if it's part of the staff.
Correct.
No way that downtown.
Yeah. We'll get that corrected. Okay. And go ahead, Lori.
Mr. Co-Chair, Co-Chairs and members of the committee, I just want to get on the record that there is no revenue impact on the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 989, and we just received from Legislative Fiscal that there is no fiscal impact on the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay, thank you. With that said, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 989 and open a work session on Senate Bill 989. Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mr. Co-Chair, I move that we adopt the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 989.
Senator Bonamici moves that we adopt the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 989. Is there any commentary? Senator Telfer.
I just want to make a comment based on the testimony today that we aren't ignoring the testimony today. Everything I heard today, we did, in fact, consider as we went through this, and for one reason or another, their apparent needs were not met based on their testimony. But I just want people to know that we aren't ignoring it. It was taken into consideration, and the map is it's a very difficult thing. It's like a balloon. You push on one thing, and everything moves around. So, but I appreciate the testimony of today and all those visits and thousands probably of people that testified over the last few months.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments on the Dash 1 amendment? Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Co-Chair Lindsay. I share in the comments that Senator Telfer made about we appreciate the people who came here today. If we start changing things, then it affects people on either side, and somebody else will be here next time, and we at some point have to just say we did the best we could. I appreciate all the work of this committee, but also appreciate how much people were involved across the state. We had a lot of turnout at many of our hearings, and it was great to see people involved in caring about what we were doing and contributing their testimony, which is part of the very lengthy record that we have. It was great to see that civic involvement, and I thank you for the opportunity to make these comments, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you. Senator Przensky.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want to clarify what I think I just heard Senator Bonamici say about people on either side of the line that's been drawn.
Correct.
We did hear today some talking about us being partisan. I want to make sure the record's clear. That statement was not as to partisanship, but how the lines had been drawn. Once you start moving it, you're going to have impact on either side of that geographic line.
That's exactly what I meant. Thank you, Senator Przensky, for clarifying my statement and for reading my mind.
I appreciate that.
You bet.
Okay. Is there any objection to adopting the Dash 1 amendment?
Definitely.
Hearing none, the Dash 1 amendment is adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 989 as amended with the Dash 1 amendment to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Senator Bonamici moves that Senate Bill 989 as amended be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Is there any discussion? Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, I'm going to vote for this. And I understand the process that brings us to where we are today. It is a historic and remarkable event, quite honestly. But I'm extremely frustrated with how this imperfect map has been drawn, specifically as it relates to my district and my city in Hillsborough. And it baffles me that we have part of my city will be represented by a district that incorporates virtually all of the West Valley of the Willamette Valley from one end to the other. And yet they will still capture a portion of Southeast Hillsborough. It's hard for me to wrap my brain around that. But I understand the puts and takes in the process. I don't think that my goal at this point will be to identify candidates from every quadrant of Hillsborough and have them run for the state legislature, so Hillsborough will have 5 state representatives. but it is frustrating. I do, again, appreciate the work that's gone into it. I will support it. you know, I just hope that in doing this that that folks that are actually going to represent physically portions of Hills, of the city I live in, Hillsborough, actually take an interest in the city and in its politics and in its people, and won't ignore it, and you know, to a certain extent, you know, leave that responsibility on the legislators that do represent kind of the core part of Hillsborough. So that's my biggest frustration of the process and the map. Again, though, I understand where we are and understand the work that's gone into it, and I will support the bill.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Co-Chair Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to, I guess, follow on the theme from earlier. I wish that we could have produced a plan that would lead all of our colleagues to come forth and say, wow, you got it right. I don't think such a plan is actually achievable, even in a, no matter what process you might come up with to do redistricting. I believe it is, I believe the perfect is unattainable inherently in this process. Having said that, I'm very proud that we're here right now. I want to thank the co-chair in the House, Chair Bonamici, Vice Chair Telfer, for the, especially you three, for the hard work that has gone in over the last few weeks. Also, all committee members who traveled around the state with us to these various hearings. I think we can be proud of not only this moment, but also having the most transparent and public process probably ever for redistricting. I think the record will show that most of the comments and suggestions and criticisms we heard were in fact incorporated into the final plan. It's not possible to hear everyone and make everyone happy, but I'm happy that we're here. I think we have a lot to be proud of. Again, thank you also to the staff for all that went into this, and I look forward to supporting this plan on the floor.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to echo my colleagues' feelings of thank you to all the members on this committee and the hard work that went around, and to the people of Oregon that came in either physically or on television to testify and to give us their testimony as to what they thought their communities of interest are. And I do believe this is a very good day that Oregonians can be proud that we proved that we can work together in a tied body, 30-30, and then I want to compliment the Senate President and the Senate for setting up the committee the same way so that we could work on this as people that were pretty much evenly matched. However, I do want to comment the fact that it wasn't an even match from the standpoint of the negotiations, and there are a couple people that we heard testimony from one of those today that probably was not treated fairly. Maybe it's bipartisan, but I wouldn't say it was fair. And even though I support this and I'm going to support the committee's work, I will be casting a no vote today in support of those colleagues that are really hurting.
Thank you. Any other discussion? I'd just like to finish by saying a couple things, and that is, first, thank you to the staff. Wayne, Jill, where are you? Lori, several others that... Gina.
And Aaron.
And Aaron. Yes. Where is Aaron? She should be here.
Exactly.
My goodness.
Committee.
So much, all we did was get in our cars, and we showed up, and we all we had to do was sit down and then leave. That was tremendous. Thank you very much. I'd also like to say thanks to the members of the committee. We see each other every single day, but don't get to spend that much time with each other, and it was nice to travel a little bit with you and get to know you a little bit better. Also, specifically to Senator Telfer and Senator Bonamici and Representative Garrett, we spent a lot of time together in rooms talking. There were some tense times. There were some jovial times. And in the end, I find each of you to be very quality people, and we disagree philosophically on some things, but at least we're able to look each other in the eye and tell each other where we stand, and I found that to be very uplifting. This was a messy process, but at least it was a transparent process, and I think that's healthy. And also, this was not perfect, but it was possible, and I'm applauding our efforts today. I'll be voting yes, absolutely. For the first time, and depending on what citation you cite, 60-plus years since this has been done. 60-plus years. We have threaded a needle that we have proved the naysayers wrong. And hopefully we can prove them on the floors, but we'd like to end with that. And then finally, I'd just like to reemphasize a theme that members of the committee are probably sick of hearing me say this, but I just want to say it on the record one more time. In past elections, 86% of federal House races were won by double-digit margins. That means that only 14% of federal races are winnable. I don't know the exact breakdown in this plan, but there are a lot of safe blue seats and a lot of safe red seats and a lot less competitive seats. I think it's a disservice to have safe seats, regardless of what party. I would love to see healthy competition and vigorous campaigns in every single House district and Senate district and congressional district at some point. Because when you have healthy competition, I think you have healthy democracy, you have better public turnout, better participation. So thank you. With that said, let's go ahead and call the roll.
Good. Mr. Chair.
Just a minute. Representative Esquivel.
Yeah, just one last thing. I think if we all look at this plan, each and every one of us, there's parts of it we don't like. So that means it's probably a fairly decent plan. I say this to the legislative body in the year 2071. I hope you do as well, because it took us 60 years to get here.
Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and call the roll.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Volpe?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Cameron?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Reed?
Aye.
Senator Atkinson?
No.
Senator Byer?
Aye.
Senator Prezonsky?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Vice Chair Telford?
Aye.
Co-Chair Bonamici?
Aye.
Co-Chair Garrett?
Aye.
Co-Chair Lindsay?
Aye. The motion passes, and Senate Bill 989, as amended, is passed. We need carriers. Yes, carriers. I suggest that Senator Telfer and Senator Bonamici carry the bill for the Senate side, and Co-Chair Garrett, what do you say if you and I do it for the House side?
My pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, and we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 989.
Yes.
And close the meeting of the Joint Committee, Special Committee. Thank you.